This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Regardless of whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away, Aware Super can help you get a plan in place to live your best retirement. Visit aware.com.au to find out more. Good morning. I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Claire Kimball.
It's Thursday, the 18th of April. In your Squiz today, all eyes on the Solomon Islands. The next big immigration case kicks off in the High Court. Mr. Chalmers goes to Washington and a devil in the sky. This is your Squiz today. Claire, counting is underway in the general election of one of Australia's major Pacific neighbours, the Solomon Islands. And given it's been building closer ties with China in recent years, there are more eyes than ever on the outcome.
And the reason for that is it's the first election since the country's Prime Minister, Manasseh Sogavare, signed a controversial security agreement with China. Long-time squizzers might remember. We've been talking a bit about this over the years. It was back in 2019 when the Solomons switched its diplomatic ties from Taiwan to China, and then in 2022, he signed an agreement with Beijing allowing it access to Honiara's ports and also that it could send in troops in the event of major domestic unrest. It was a prominent issue even in our election that year because the Morrison government was accused by Labor of dropping the ball on our relationships with our Pacific Island neighbours and that China was able then to get a foothold in the region.
Yeah, and until that moment, Australia had been the Solomon's key security partner with a long history of supporting them, including things like the 14-year mission to help keep a lid on ethnic violence, which started in 2003. And in this election, Sogavare is being challenged by rivals who would rather have closer ties with Oz and our allies.
Yeah, so his main opponents include the former opposition leader, Matthew Whale, and the MP, Peter Kenilaria Jr. They've both been scathing of that deal with Beijing. So that's why this election is making headlines. It could be consequential to some important geopolitics if there is a change of leadership there. But the pundits say that it's going to be a very tough one to call. There are 50 seats in the country's parliament, and it's not likely that any party is going to get an outright majority. So there could be some political wrangling needed to form a coalition there.
Yeah, the result could take weeks to come through. Back in 2019, it took 6 weeks from polling day until the government was locked in. But as I said, whatever happens, there are plenty of people in high places watching things closely. A Muslim community leader yesterday spoke on behalf of the father of the 16-year-old accused of the terror attack in the Christ the Good Shepherd Church in the southwestern Sydney suburb of Wakeley on Monday night. He said the boy was increasingly disobedient, but his father said his son showed no signs of being radicalised.
The teenager hasn't been charged yet and he remains in hospital under police guard. There's quite a bit around this morning about that 16-year-old that he'd dropped out of school and, as you say, was increasingly a problem for his family. Police have arrested, though, a 19-year-old man in connection with the riot that occurred outside that church. It's the first arrest and there's expected to be quite a few more. There were 600 people who went to the church following the attack, which was live streamed, and many were demanding that the boy be handed over, but he was barricaded inside for his own safety.
Also, in relation to the stabbing incident on Saturday, Claire, Bondi Junction Westfield will reopen today. No retailers are opening their doors and there will be increased security. The idea is to make it accessible for community reflection. The much talked about ASF 17 deportation case has kicked off in our High Court. And if your response to that sentence is, "What on earth am I talking about?" Claire, it's over to you.
You mean ASF 17 deportation case doesn't roll off your tongue?
It does not.
I'm shocked. So this case involves an Iranian man. He's known as ASF 17. He arrived by boat more than a decade ago. He's been refusing to cooperate with authorities because he fears that if he's sent back to Iran, he could be persecuted for being bisexual. His lawyers say that he should be set free based on last year's High Court ruling. That ruling said that it was illegal to indefinitely detain people in immigration detention if they have no prospect of deportation. That resulted in 149 detainees, including convicted murderers and other criminals, being released, and it set off a real political firestorm.
Yeah, and what legal experts say about this case is that it could have a similar impact. Last month, the Albanese government attempted to pass a deportation bill that would prevent that from happening. It's currently before a Senate committee that's due to report in May. Treasurer Jim Chalmers is in Washington, D.C. this week for meetings with global finance ministers and leaders. But before he left yesterday, he gave an update about the economic environment. He says geopolitical instability is causing a tricky balance of risks in the global economy right now, and indeed in our own economy.
Yeah. Geopolitical instability. I wonder what on earth he's talking about, those little things like a war in Ukraine and a war in the Middle East. His comments are in line with those from the US Federal Reserve boss, Jerome Powell. He says that persistent inflation will likely delay any interest rate cuts there. The US economy, of course, is such a leading economy in the world that everyone looks to them around things like inflation and interest rates. So that's been an interesting observation from him. And also the International Monetary Fund's latest big report points out that sticky inflation is an issue globally. So there's a bit for Chalmers to discuss with his counterparts while he's in the US.
And meanwhile, China's reported stronger than expected growth so far this year, but analysts say its sluggish economy still has challenges to overcome. It's the second biggest economy in the world and, of course, Australia's biggest trading partner, so it's good to clock where China's at. I don't know about you, Claire, but I was a bit jealous of America's total solar eclipse last week. But there is no need to turn into a green-eyed monster because it's Australia's turn to host a notable astronomical event. 12P/Pons Brooks, which is better known as the Devil's Comet, will be visible from this weekend.
Yeah, so NASA says that it's worth getting outside to catch a glimpse, given it's one of the brightest periodic comets, and it only comes around every 71 years. So Jonty Horner, who's an astronomer from the Southern Queensland University, says that it's got this devilish nickname because over the past 12 months it keeps burping, that it's having outbursts. And apparently those outbursts have been expelling gas and dust, and that gives it the appearance of having two horns.
There you go. Sunday night is when it will be closest to the sun and at its brightest, but Professor Horner says it will still look a bit like a fuzzy blob to the naked eye. So maybe pack your binoculars if you want to see it. We've found a really good guide to what you should know if you want to see the comet. I'll pop that link in the episode notes today. Squeeze shortcuts, Claire. What do we need to know?
Look, Alex and I have talked about Israel and Iran. Of course, on the weekend, there was an unprecedented attack from Iran on Israel. There's been a lot of domestic Australian news around this week, and we thought that if there was one big international event that's quite consequential that would be worth getting across, it was that. So that's all packed up in a Squiz shortcut today.
Yeah, there's been plenty of big Aussie news, so I'm glad you and Alex have made that one easy to get across. If you want to have a listen, you can find that episode in this feed straight after this podcast. Thank you for listening today. We'll be back again tomorrow.
Hi there, it's Bryce Corbett here from Squiz Kids. It's been a big couple of weeks for news, and one thing that's emerged is the increasingly concerning role that mis- and disinformation are playing in the wake of big news events. It's why there's never been a more important time for our kids to be taught to be critical consumers of media. It's also why we created NewsHounds, a fun 8-part podcast series with accompanying classroom workbook to teach primary school kids how to spot misinformation when they come across it online. It's already being used in over 2,000 classrooms around the country. To make sure the kids in your life are among them, get their teacher to head to squizkids.com.au and sign up for a free account. You're very welcome.